Good morning once again, and welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Our scripture text is taken from the first epistle of Peter, chapter 3, and verse 18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust. We'll continue reading to place it in its context, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. Now, this passage is one of the most difficult passages in the Bible to understand. So prior to the main body of the sermon, we're going to teach it briefly. First, Christ provided a once-for-all sacrifice on your behalf in order to reconcile you to God. Jesus was put to death in the flesh. He had a physical body, not just a spiritual one. Christ was made alive by the Spirit. Some see this as a ministry of God the Holy Spirit. Others see this as the work of God the Son Himself. Technically speaking, both are true. So suffice it to say that the resurrection was the work of God in all three persons of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Spirit. We're participants in this great and glorious work of the resurrection of our Lord. He went on a journey. The timing is not fixed here, but it is the opinion of most scholars, and this is the opinion that I subscribe to, that this took place while Jesus' body laid in the tomb in the time between his death and his resurrection. Many people have that question. What was the Spirit of God the Son doing while his body laid in the tomb? What was he doing? Well, he preached. And that word preached is not the word that we get evangelism from. It's the word that we get proclamation from. It's the proclamation of a sovereign to those subjects who have now been placed under his authority. So Jesus went and he preached an official proclamation. He preached, death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? He preached to the spirits in prison, those who were already condemned, having rejected the authority of God in times past. First, fallen angels, and secondly, quite possibly, also those who had previously died, having rejected God's promise of the coming Messiah. The specific group to whom Christ proclaimed his victory is given in verse 20. The spirits in prison, whose behavior precipitated a specific event. No pun intended, the Noahic flood. For these were fallen angels sent by the devil to contaminate the human race by intermarrying with human women. Now the Bible says that in the days of Noah, fallen angels went after, quote, strange flesh. Satan and his minions thought that if they succeeded in contaminating the human race entirely, God's promise of his Messiah, given back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, would be nullified. When God's eternal Son came to show up, having achieved his once-for-all victory over death, to their dismay, they learned otherwise. And so it makes me wonder, how many people are going to be a little bit surprised when they become aware in the next life that it was true, that it was all true, that Jesus suffered and died and paid the penalty for sin, that Jesus achieved the victory over death through his resurrection, and that those who rejected the offer in this life would have no recourse in the next. They had procrastinated a little bit too long. They had played the game thinking that they might have another opportunity. But the scripture says that it is appointed unto men to die once, and after this, the judgment. So this word which we preach in earnest, knowing that if there are any who will not receive God in his Christ in this life, will be left utterly condemned in the next. And we have this on the authority of God's word. John 3:18, Hebrews 9:27. Now we're going to shift gears abruptly, having dispatched the content or the context of our scripture text. So let us again be reminded of our text. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust. And let us consider four things this morning. First, Christ's sufferings. Secondly, Christ's sacrifice. Third, Christ's sinlessness. And fourth, Christ's substitution. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, a week ago, on Friday night, we looked at how Jesus Christ fulfilled in his person the Old Testament shadows and concepts of his word, of the visible presence of God, of the audible presence of God, and as broad and as disjointed as the study may have been in its presentation, and difficult as it was in its containing words from the biblical language, everybody was blessed in spite of the great faults of he who taught this study. The reason for this was that its subject, the majesty of Jesus Christ, overrode everything else. We have nothing to fear, friends, when we go out there, imperfect people, imperfect evangelists, imperfect teachers, and imperfect preachers. Because as long as we stick to the message, as long as we are faithful to our duty to preach Jesus Christ alone, in Him crucified, in Him, by the way, resurrected, risen from the dead, we cannot fail in the eyes of God. Paul continues writing. I began with a quote here. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So shall it be this morning, after the words of the Apostle Paul. And when I read that and determined that I would preach the main body of this sermon after the manner of those words, I have determined now that we shall continue forth simply quoting God's Word, God's Scripture, Christ's sufferings. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death, for dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and they stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from their shame and spitting. Just as many were astonished at you, so his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Consider Christ's sufferings, Christ's sacrifice. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Christ's sacrifice. Christ's sinlessness. He had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. If we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Christ's sinlessness. Christ's substitution. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Christ's sufferings, Christ's sacrifice, Christ's sinlessness, Christ's substitution. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Christian friend, may the reminders of Christ's suffering, sacrifice, sinlessness, and substitution stir up your spirit. May it bring you back from the spiritual place to which perhaps you have departed, where you forget what it cost God in order that you might have so great a salvation. He took all the pain that we might receive all the blessings. What manner of love is this? Friend, God's love for you is not faded. But perhaps your heart has been hardened. You've forgotten his love, or maybe you've never considered it all. Now, having heard these truths, do you still doubt the love of the Savior for you? If you will have him, the Lord Jesus is pleased to make his home in your heart today. He delights at invitations. And so the Spirit says, come, taste, partake of the free gift of salvation. And what does that Christian jargon mean in English? It means that you, all of us, are sinners, separated by God and in need of a Savior. So let each of us in our hearts pray that the Lord will break down that wall of separation, those things, those sins which separate us from God, be they sinful anxiety, lack of faith, lack of confidence, unbelief, the sinful lifestyle that we cling to. Lord God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, if there are any here coming to you this morning for the first time, hear this prayer of salvation. Friend, if this is you, pray this in your own heart. Lord, I've been playing games with you too long, and now I see more clearly what it costs, what you did for me, and how you desire to have a relationship with me. And I need that relationship. My way isn't working. My life is not complete. Lord, receive me into your kingdom. Give me an assurance that I'll go to heaven when I pass from this earth. In friend to this, Jesus says, those who come to me I will in no wise cast out. Christian friend, join me in this prayer. Lord, I failed in some areas of my life, some that I'm aware of, some maybe I'm not so fully aware of. Lord, bring me to that place where I'm sensitive to the leading of your Spirit, that I might understand how I might lead a life more pleasing to you. We thank you, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.